1 Corinthians 14. I'm speaking here on this last message in this series here called Faith for Life. And I began last week, for those who were not here, talking about receiving your anointing. I really believe again that the body of Christ should understand that the anointing is something that is available for all believers because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And the Bible says, of course, the anointing is what breaks the yokes. And there's many yokes on many people's lives around us that cannot be broken by psychology or just by human wisdom and human counseling or by medication. They're really going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so God would desire to pour out His Spirit upon the body of Christ, not just for us to glow in the dark and be able to say Shondai real good, but because He wants to flow through us to people who need the power of God in their lives to be set free, to be transformed, and to even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The more full of the Holy Spirit we get become, the more people are drawn to us, because in every human being there's a vacuum, the shape of Jesus Christ, that only He can fill. And again, the Spirit of God in you will start drawing people to you to have questions Himself that you'll have answers for. And I believe God's going to give us an ability to see more people come to Christ. You see all these names up here again. We're going to leave these names up here for a while longer. We're praying for these folks to receive Christ as Savior. There's already been some stories about this happening. And may that also increase more and more and more. I mentioned last week here, I was talking about the realm of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to kind of continue on that vein as well this morning to a large extent, go beyond that also. But also, of course, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I said last week, you'll never find the Bible one instance where when somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit, there's always been tongues with that. However, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you must speak in tongues if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So I've heard some believers say they don't speak in tongues who've been Spirit-filled. And some folks say, most folks say they did speak in tongues. The main thing is you're going to see more about what tongues was really all about. But this has been such a divisive issue in the body of Christ in times past, even to the present, to where some denominations actually have even labeled tongues as of the devil or as a passing away back of the death of the apostles centuries ago. Not needed now because we have the Bible, written Bible. We don't need tongues or gifts right now because the Bible's here. But the truth is, we need every gift the Holy Spirit will give to us, because those gifts are there for men to have benefits take place in their lives, would not take place otherwise in their lives. I remember back in our times of doing these seminars on secular rock music back in the 80s, Cheryl and I went to a evangelical church on a Saturday night, had about 300 folks that came out there and heard this whole seminar on rock music. And it was a non-spirit-filled church, and the pastor was very, very insistent. You guys need to stay here tomorrow and come to our Sunday morning service, just kind of be a part of the service. And so he wouldn't take no for an answer. So we went ahead and went to the church the next morning. And to our amazement, the entire message that Sunday morning was about how people should not be speaking in tongues, and that's not really for today. And if you're even doing that, please come to the front and repent. And so I thought, we all sit there, listen to the message, of course, and we were there among 300, 400 people on a Sunday morning about this message here. Said goodbye to folks at the end, made our way out of there, and went our merry way. And I said to Cheryl later on by ourselves, I said, what a shame to take an entire message for two people who already know what this is all about and aren't going to change their mind on that. These guys probably needed something that, other than that, in their message that Sunday morning. But I want to tell you guys again, there's benefits to anything that God gives us. It's called a gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so God's going to give us, I believe, some more insight even this morning about this. Last week also, I heard this word come forth from our sister Linda that I really was ringing true in my spirit about how God wants us to revisit the place called Pentecost. Now, when you hear the word Pentecost, some of you guys think about buns and no makeup and long skirts and don't go bowling, don't do mixed bathing, and don't watch TV or go to movies, okay? Because a lot of the so-called old line Pentecostals did get involved in outward holiness because of inward convictions of the Spirit that probably was for individuals, not for a doctrine for the entire body of Christ. And so many folks got turned off by that because it became rules, regulations, trying to actually work things up and trying to serve God out of rules of man and try to make ourselves holy and make ourselves righteous by our works, not an inward work sometimes of the Holy Spirit. But the fact is, the Bible actually is the birther of the word Pentecost. The Bible says there was actually a day called the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 that actually began 4,000 years before that in Leviticus in a place called Mount Sinai. The Bible says on Mount Sinai This whole thing was birthed whenever Moses goes to the top of the mountain to receive the fire and the shakings and the peals of thunder and all the things take place that is impressing all the folks of Israel down below for a while. And while Moses is up there, God's giving him the law and giving him also the Ten Commandments on tablets. The interesting thing is, this all took place. God said, I'm going to give you seven Sabbaths. Then it says, mark off 50 days after the seventh Sabbath, and that'll be the day that marks the day of Pentecost for you guys. 50 is the word Pentecost. The interesting thing also is, it was 50 days after Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, that day of Pentecost take place in Acts chapter 2. So 50 is found in the Old Testament, 50 is found New Testament there. God was showing a foreshadowing there of a future event that took place. Now back in the Old Testament, the Bible says when Moses came down from the mountain, these guys had made a golden calf and were worshiping that. They were involved in debauchery, revelry, and all kind of flesh broke out. And God said, get folks, we'll take and begin to slay their fellow Israelite, fellow brothers there, but for the evil they're doing here among them. And the Bible says 3,000 people were slain and killed that day. On the day of Pentecost, Peter comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit, preaches one message, and 3,000 people get saved. You see how God turns the tables from destruction to life. From the outpouring of His word and voice on tablets of stone upon the tablets now of hearts, and giving us a heart full of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We're called the temple of the Holy Ghost, and now God is saving lives. We don't see lives being cut off and being destroyed because the Holy Spirit now is among us to redeem mankind and draw people to Himself. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 1, Paul gives now one of the most concise and direct answers to a question that you might not, because you can never go see in the Word of God or in the Bible. Very concise, very direct answer to a question. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, pursue, chase after love, but also pursue and chase after and desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may prophesy. For he who prophesies or speaks, or he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. That's not a bad thing. Speaking to God's good, amen. For nobody understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That's the word spirit there is little s. It's your spirit that's inside of you. The spirit man speaks mysteries. One thing about life is, how many folks know life has got mysteries all around it? There's mysteries about your own wife, mysteries about your own husband, mysteries about your own teenage kids, your own children, mysteries on your workplace, mysteries about why nations are doing what nations are doing around, mysteries about why there's weather patterns going berserk around us. All these things are mysteries, and God says one thing the Holy Spirit does for us is reveals and brings forth light to mysteries around us and begins unraveling mysteries, uncovering mysteries, and making sense out of things that perplex us in this life. Now, the Bible also says time and again, in the last days before Christ comes back, many things will perplex mankind being loosed upon the earth. The Holy Spirit will help you make sense of and have peace right in the middle of mysteries in these last days. It will increase also upon the earth. So do you realize that there are no mysteries again to God, but there are only mysteries to us? But the Holy Spirit knows that the answerer of all mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 goes on. It's called the love chapter. And it says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Angels have tongues. And many folks believe the tongues we speak in by being filled with the Holy Spirit are the tongues of angels. It's the voice of heaven. It's very unlikely you're going to find God speaking Hebrew or Greek in heaven. You're going to find God speak His own language, but you don't understand what God says. You say, well, God speaks to me in English. Well, that's me going to find English in heaven. You're going to find the tongues of angels in heaven. Amen? Because I've heard about folks who have actually seen heaven, they say, for brief times, they die on operating tables or whatever else, they come back to the earth. They say, in heaven, I saw colors that don't exist on the earth. I heard sounds up there that don't even exist in all of creation upon this earth. There's also probably words up there you've never heard upon the earth, because God's going to give you a glorified body, a glorified brain, a glorified imagination, and God needs a bigger vocabulary than English has actually got for what you're going to be going through in eternity as eons of time go by. Amen? So, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, it says, but have not love, agape love, I become like sounding brass or clanging cymbals. Though I have the gift of prophecy, notice this next thing here, and understand all mysteries. So God is saying here there are mysteries around us, but they can be understood by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've told you guys in my own message here how mysteries in my own life that Cheryl's discovered about me, myself about her, has helped our marriage be stronger than it would be had those mysteries not been revealed. She knows why I behave the way I do sometimes behind the scenes, and it redeems me. It helps me out. The Holy Spirit's a counselor. He is a connector, a healer. And the same thing for her as well. She has a lot of idiosyncrasies herself, perhaps. Maybe she does. And so all those mysteries get revealed to each other here and brings peace in the marriage. I have more than she does, of course. But they're all under the blood of Christ and getting better every year. We're becoming more like each other. It's good, though. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 goes on. And it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and also comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies actually the entire church. That's why we also give place in this church here, this congregation, on Sundays like this, even Wednesdays, whenever we come together, for folks to prophesy, to do things that edify the people. Before Elisha Snooker came up here and got the microphone this morning, sitting down there, and the Spirit of God said, I am surrounding this place with a warring spirit. And so when Elisha came up to me and said, I have something to share here about warfare. It just kind of rang in my heart there. That's what God's saying in my heart, my mind as well. Now, he gave a specific prophecy there about how some of you guys perhaps don't think God loves you. You don't think that you're worthy to receive God's love. And so the warfare that God loosed through that man's mouth was about how you need to realize that God won't love you any more or less than he does right now today. Take a hold of that, buy into that, and be ministered to by that. Amen? That was there for edification and for comfort and for the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. And so I praise God that we have some folks here that are prophesying and they're doing things their own way. And don't get tripped up by things where folks don't say, yay, 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 thus saith the Lord. Start speaking in King James dialect, so forth. This newer generation doesn't talk like that. And so don't go by what you heard way back years ago, perhaps, being the norm. God speaks in ways that is understood by the people in the church that it might edify, comfort, and strengthen them somehow, some way. Amen? So praise God for prophecy in the church. So moving on here. So why should we actually even speak in tongues then? The Bible says that tongues helps you out, but prophecy helps out the church. Why should we even speak in tongues then? Well, there's going to be three reasons I'm going to give briefly here before I move on. Number one, tongues allows us to speak mysteries to God. Speak mysteries to God. If you want to write these things down, if you have something to write down, something on as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, verified that. We speak mysteries to God. Also, verse 14 goes on and says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit, little s, prays, but my understanding actually is unfruitful, which means I don't understand what I'm actually even praying. What that means is, when the Spirit of God begins to pray through you in tongues, you receive God's vocabulary, and God starts doing things or speaking things in your prayer life that's going to bring the utmost good for your prayer request upon the earth. When I pray for somebody's cancer in this church here, I may not realize they've got inside of them a bloodline curse that needs to be broken to take that generational thing and break that off their lives. But God knows that. The Holy Spirit knows that. So when I pray with tongues over them, he can start praying through me. I break that curse. I break that thing. I see it being unraveled by the power of my name, saith the Lord. And so God may start speaking things like that through us by our prayer language, mysteries being prayed. I don't understand what I'm praying. And to me, it's unfruitful in my own brain, perhaps, but in the spiritual realm, it is weapons of warfare that are mighty, that are pulling down strongholds in Jesus' name. Amen? It's a weapon used by God that brings in great results in people's lives. Number two, tongues also allows us to speak God's language. Like I said earlier, I believe that God's vocabulary is much bigger than English, much bigger than Greek or Hebrew or German or Russian. I believe God's got a vast vocabulary, and speaking in tongues gives you God's vocabulary. It expands your horizons to accomplish more in your prayer life, your praise life, and your life in general. Amen? Then number three, tongues also, the Bible says, strengthens you, or it says it actually edifies you. Because you speak directly to God, and because, again, you're finding yourself having a stirring take place inside your own heart, I see an edification, a strengthening take place in me every time I speak in tongues or that kind of a language of heaven inside my own soul. How many folks would attest here who do speak in tongues would say that when you speak in tongues, you many times actually sense a stirring inside your heart or your soul here? How many, who can say that? Most people here. What I've seen that to be is, it's like when you plug a dead battery into an outlet, you hear a hum. It's the sound of recharging. Whenever you start speaking in tongues, it's what I call the sound of heaven. It starts humming forth inside your soul, and it starts recharging your batteries. All the things that wear you out in life, all those things that wear you down, all those things that give us sometimes discouragement and so forth, those things start passing off of us by God's power flowing in us by speaking in new tongues and new languages out of our heart and soul and our spirit, man. Amen? So I sense that stirring there is like that electrical hum of heaven, the sound of heaven getting loosed in me, rivers of living waters bursting forth and causing real life, real energy, real anointing to get loosed here, that I won't find myself discouraged or defeated by things in life around me that try to do that, sometimes on a regular basis. Amen? So I want to say again that when God strengthens us, the Bible says He edifies us. The word edifice comes from that word. Edifice is a building. It means we get built up by speaking in tongues and speaking in heavenly languages. But the Holy Spirit does not do things by chance. You might have heard about a few weeks ago, a lady in Florida who was declared legally blind won the $600 million lottery by herself. Well, I heard the story also beyond that. The man behind her, seeing that she was halfway blind, was a gentleman, and said, "Please, ma'am, we're all in line for the lottery tickets today. You go ahead and cut in front of me, and go ahead and take my place and get your ticket there." Machine spits the ticket out, and she grabs what would have been his ticket and wins $600 million. That's all by chance. Amen? The Holy Spirit does not work by lotteries and by chance. He does things on purpose. Amen? He's not like some garden hose under pressure that just willy-nilly sprays water everywhere and you just kind of come who may, it just kind of goes on all folks around you. The Holy Spirit does things on purpose, does things in order, and does things by those who call upon His name and seek after Him, okay? Now, you might sense sometimes a spiritual residue in a church service like this today where you're sensing there's some kind of a stirring around me in the spiritual realm, but those who are focused on God always receive the most. When God's Spirit's moving around us, they're saying, "I want you, God. I sense you, God. I receive you, God. Come and do in my life today what you want to do." Those who hunger and thirst after Him, the Bible says, will be filled again and again. Now, I believe that all can benefit from that which, again, gives us spiritual strength, those things that speaks out mysteries, and those things that edify us, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to remind you also today that speaking in tongues and all the gifts of the Spirit, they're beyond that as well. The nine gifts of the Spirit are not the only benefit, though, the Holy Spirit gives to us. He also gives other benefits to us as well. I'm going to spend the rest of my time on that. Let's look now at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at the other benefits we receive by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18, and it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation." That word dissipation means debauchery. It says wine or alcohol, drunkenness, will bring out debauchery. We all know what that means, hopefully. But it says, "But be filled with the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit. "Speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, then sing and make melody in your hearts to God, then giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, then submitting to each other in the fear of the Lord." So what Paul is saying here, Paul the Apostle is saying by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, be filled with the Spirit, Because this is what he brings. He's not talking there about how you just get filled with the Spirit of God and also do those things also besides that. He's actually saying here, being filled with the Holy Spirit connects you to the next things that were spoken forth in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. It actually makes those things manifest in your life when you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most exciting verses in the entire Bible right here. The Holy Spirit does these benefits for us that otherwise will not take place for us if we're not being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to elaborate on this also some more as I move along here as well. He's saying here, the infilling of God's Spirit, but first of all, leads you to revealed praise and revealed worship, then revealed thanksgiving, then revealed submission, and then revealed fear of the Lord. Let's spend some time on each one of those for a little while here and see what I'm talking about by this. The first thing it says here is the four areas being enhanced by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The four areas are, number one, worship and praise shall be enhanced, revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been involved in worship music services like the one today in churches in many nations all over the earth. I've been in ones where folks look like they're just bored to tears. Folks are sitting down sometimes, arms are folded, not having any comprehension about what they're even singing about. But Ephesians 5 says here, sing to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's that mean? Does it mean to take and join hands and stare in each other's faces and sing to each other during songs like this morning? It's not saying that. What it's saying there is, prophesy to each other by your songs that are birthed by the Holy Spirit, and through that be edified, be strengthened, be comforted, and receive something of God's kingdom in you by your praise and by your worship and by your spiritual songs. Amen? You know, one day, as time goes by, you're going to see birthing in this place what's called the Song of the Lord. The Song of the Lord is prophesying through music, prophesying songs. How many folks in this room have ever done something like that in your entire life, in your bathtub or your bedroom or car or something? God wants to birth that among us. That's not a lost art that doesn't exist anymore. God wants to birth prophetic songs through his people. We had a man we ministered with years ago named Kim Clement, who's from South Africa. I went to Cheryl's church back there. This man moves very strongly in the song of the Lord. I've seen how God ministers to people directly, prophesies to people directly by the song of the Lord. And what God is saying here is, those that are filled with the Holy Spirit will be able to praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth. These words will make sense. There will be revealed to us that God's a mighty tower, God's a mighty fortress, God's our King, God's our Lord, God's our Redeemer. Not just words to sing and go through for to pass time to make God happy, but songs that have to be prophesied to us, things that edify, things that strengthen, things that comfort, things that release, and things that build faith in your life. This morning you need to ask yourself the gut check. Am I getting anything out of praise and worship songs? These songs are sometimes, isn't songs like this for sissies? Well, the biggest psalmist in the entire Bible was who? King David. King David, the Bible says, killed lions and bears with a sling and a stone. Most of our men use high caliber rifles with scopes at a long distance. Amen? If I got a grizzly bear that's 12 foot tall coming at me, I want an elephant gun or a bazooka. I don't want no sling and no stone and try to knock the thing out. This guy killed lions, killed bears, and killed 9-foot giants like Goliath. He led thousands of men in warfare triumphantly. This guy was chased by a king, slept in caves with no Coleman lantern or Coleman sleeping bag. This guy was tough. This guy was rugged. This guy was manly. This guy was a psalmist and a praiser and a worshiper of Almighty God. There's nothing sissy about praising God unless you don't know God. If you think God's a sissy, and you see sometimes sissy paintings about Jesus being a sissy, that's not right. Christ was a carpenter. He had rough hands. He was a strong man. He was a firm man. He was a man who knew who he was. He was God in the flesh. God is not a sissy. We're not praising some sissy God. Okay, so I'm telling you men again, if you start singing songs up here again about romance me, oh God, or whatever else, change the words sometimes. If you get bugged by those kind of words like that in the songs, I just change those words sometimes. You know, you ladies love those songs that says, romance me, oh lover of my, you know, some men have a hard time singing things like that to God, okay? So I'm saying, I'm just saying, change the words like, do something good for me, oh lover. Oh, I love you, oh my soul. Just change the words, okay? But I'm telling you right now, God is not a sissy. God is not a pansy. And worship and praise is not God, not a sissy thing to do. Amen? Hope you catch what I'm trying to say here. Because sometimes we do feminize our songs a whole lot. And some men say, I just can't get into that. That's just kind of a little bit kind of feminine to me. I'm still a man right now. I go to heaven, no men, no women, I understand that. But right now, give me some more macho type things to be saying here, okay? So that's just a side deal, okay? Don't scrap that song, James. You guys go ahead and sing that song. It's all right. But some of these men here can change those words once in a while, okay? Hope you catch a drift on that. What? Yeah, that's right. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit and sing in the Spirit. That's what I do over there in Zululand. I'm a Zulus and Russians, whatever. I start singing in tongues, and they're singing their language. They go, hey, how do you sing with us? I'm singing in tongues. I got no problem. It's the same tune, same thing, just different words. No problem. Okay, so moving on. The next thing it says, being baptized in the Holy Spirit will give you also revealed thanksgiving for your life. The heart of thanksgiving is not a part of our natural culture because man's tendency is to compete with men, to step on men, to climb over men, to see men as a threat around us, even females, to see other females as a threat in your life. You watch Mean Girls sometimes, you'll see what I'm talking about there. I'm saying, but that's not what God's kingdom is all about. Amen? He is about us serving each other, loving God, having a heart of thanksgiving in this life. And being thankful for what God's done for us. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit will help you be thankful even in adverse circumstances in your life upon the earth. But I want to say right now also, I believe it's totally impossible to actually have a thankful heart in the midst of adversity if we don't have the Holy Spirit actually giving us revelation about who we are, what we are, where we're going in the midst of that adversity. I want to remind you again today, the Bible tells us, it says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything, it says in the midst of everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, how can we do that? Only by the Holy Spirit. You cannot be in thanksgiving when your wife or husband dies, when you lose your job, when you go through a tremendous car crash with no insurance. You cannot be giving thanks to God in the natural realm and things like that. It's going to take supernatural intervention by the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to baptize us, that we can have His ability to be in thanksgiving no matter what we're going through in this life. Next thing, number three, is the word submission. Spirit-filled people can have what's called supernatural submission in their lives. They can walk in what's called true submission. Again, I want to say, I kind of jumped ahead there, but our culture again wants us again to rise up, to be number one, to climb on folks around us, try to get their promotions, try to get their job, their raises, their recognitions, their plaques, their accolades. And those things are all carnal and devilish and not of God's kingdom. God says, those who want to be great in my kingdom must become the least of all and learn to serve people upon the earth. He told his disciples time and again, learn to wash feet, learn to serve humanity, learn to take and turn the other cheek, and don't get revenge, and don't hold unforgiveness. Do all the things of a servant's heart. If you do that, you'll be like I am and be great in the life to come. And in this life also have my peace, my joy, my fruit being born in your life. We need to have what's called godly, spirit-filled submission. You see, some of us in this room today have got bad bosses. We've got evil bosses. They say bad jokes. They're selfish. They're doing evil things around us. They're stealing money, perhaps. And even through all that, the Bible says, still submit yourselves to the authorities I put over you because they belong not to you but to God. And I'll test you sometimes in this, says God, to see if you can actually be submissive in the midst of bad authorities around you like David was with Saul. Because in due time, you'll shed those wrong authorities. And you'll find yourself in authority yourself as a right authority, but you'll have to pass the test of being attested under wrong authority for a season, relating in a right way to them with a submissive spirit, not a disobedient heart to God's word, of course, but being submissive in your spirit towards them in your life. Okay, so also, the Bible goes on in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, and it gives women's favorite verse, or women's not so favorite verses here sometimes. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord." Amen. And so wives say, "Man, my husband knows that verse real good. He uses that every Saturday when it comes to housework and washing dishes, so forth, so on, taking care of kids. He knows that verse real good." But then about three verses goes by, and then God nails the men. And what does God say to the men? God says, "And husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church." Well, the truth is, any man in this place who does that will have no problem with submission from the wife in his house. Is that right, women? If your husband does that, you'll have no problem submitting to them inside your household and inside your life. So God is telling us again, submission is something that goes a two-way street for husbands, for wives, for all human beings, submitting ourselves one to another as unto the Lord. And by doing that, there comes great release of God's presence, God's kingdom in our lives. If your passion in life is chasing dollars, that needs to shift in your life. I found in life that God's made every one of us in this room to have a problem that only we can solve. And if you'll take and find that passion life you've got to solve problems, whatever problem that problem may be, the dollars will always follow your problem solving. Amen? That's why it says, "Seek first my kingdom, seek first my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you automatically as you do that." That means find the reason you're born on the earth. Seek for my kingdom's desires for your life, that I might reveal to you why you're on this earth. And with that passion, solving a problem is going to help out humanity, and dollars will always follow people who solve problems upon the earth. Amen. The bigger problems you solve, the more money you will make. That's how it goes. That's how life is. The last thing was the fear of the Lord. We all understand, again, the fear of the Lord is not to be afraid of God like you're afraid of a bad dog or afraid of a mean horse. It means to have an awesome respect and awe of God. Amen. Those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they all of a sudden get revealed to them how great, how awesome, how loving, how mighty, how worthy God really is. And through that, they have an awesome respect for the Lord. If we can take and revile spiritual authorities, revile even presidents and leaders, if we can do things that our mouth is very loose and very, very cutting and biting, it means we have no fear of God in our lives. We don't understand the value that God places on humans and people on the earth. When we find ourselves reviling people around us in a kind of a real loose type of way upon this earth. Also, even God Himself, we must honor Him. And we must acknowledge all the time, "God, You are ever in me, ever around me, ever before me. I have an awesome respect and awesome awareness of Your presence all the time in my life." When we lose that fear of God, that awesome respect of God, that awe of God, we start letting our flesh take over. We start letting carnality take place in our lives. We start letting things slip in our spiritual walk. And that anointing seems to kind of leak out of our lives, not understanding where it went. It's time to give ourselves this morning today what I call a Holy Spirit oil check. Ask yourself this morning, has my praise and worship time become religious, become lifeless, become boring? Is there any revelation in me anymore about who God is during praise and worship times? If that answer is no, the Holy Spirit wants to rebaptize you all over again, that you might realize He really is worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of honor. He lives inside of us. He is greater than we can ever imagine upon this earth and in the universe as well. God is worthy of our praise. He wants psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we sing with grace in our hearts to God. We need to ask ourselves also as well, do I give thanks on a regular basis? Do I thank God for my city, my job, my car, my house, my wife, my husband, my children, my dog, my cat? Praise God for a cat, you got whatever. But am I thankful for all the things around me upon the earth that God's placed in my disposal? Am I thankful for salvation, for the blood of Jesus Christ, for the Word of God in the Bible, for Christian brothers and sisters and churches like this? Am I thankful? Or do I find myself taking all things for granted and feeling enabled, feeling like I deserve these things? God was not made for us. We were made for God. And all things that exist, give thanks in everything and for everything, because God made everything, and it's for the good of mankind and the good of God Himself. And may God be praised forevermore. Then ask yourself also this morning, am I having a problem with rebellion, lack of submission? Do I find myself backbiting, slandering, cutting down my bosses, my authorities, my mayor, my governor, my president, sometimes even Christian leaders? These things, God says, put a guard over your mouth. Use your mouth for life and not for death. Because God can raise one up and God can bring one down. But He does it better when people of God are blessing, not cursing with their mouths, people around them. You know, whenever David would pray blessings on Saul, those prayers are what actually led to Saul's downfall. Because the biggest blessing Saul could have was lose his kingship. When he prayed, God bless Saul, God honor Saul, God bring forth the best for Saul, because Saul was so backslidden, so possessed, and so demonic, and so rebellious, the best thing for Saul and Israel was Saul get removed from authority. So speaking blessings on him brought forth God's best for him and for Israel as well. Now, unfortunately, Saul did not repent, did not turn, did not get himself right with God. But I hope somehow, some way, when we find ourselves in heaven, we're going to see Saul up there still as a person that God's known and God's hand was on and God was using in mighty ways for many years of his life. As James comes back to the platform now at the end of this service, I want to say that when we try to be like God in our power, that's called religion. When you try to follow rules, regulations, New Testament rules, regulations, Old Testament law, that is your flesh trying to do things to please God in your power, your might, and your intellect. That's called religion. The Holy Spirit gives you an ability to have the desires of your heart actually changed by God and receive a grace to say no to what God says no to and say yes to what God says yes to. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37:4 says this, and you'll receive automatically the desires of your heart. I tell folks again and again, I smoke all the dope I want to. I get drunk all I want to. I beat my wife all I want to, because my want to's have been changed. I don't want any of those things. Those things are all gone. I never had a desire to beat my wife. Never. Amen. You got to say, Pastor Mike wants to beat his wife. I never wanted to beat my wife, except I do want to beat her out of bed in the mornings. Amen. So in that respect, I beat my wife out of bed every morning. All the desires I had in my young, youthful days of flesh and carnality and sin, God changed those things by the power of the Holy Spirit. My want-tos changed. Things I desired that actually were destructive for me, bad for me, I didn't try to make myself not like those things in my own flesh. I knew what God's Word said, but I could not keep God's Word because I had no power in me to do that. I found myself desiring things and having no power to not succumb to those things. When the Holy Spirit took over my life, He gave me new desires, new power, new taste, new things of a yearning for in my life that were lined up with what God's yearnings were also in heaven as well. And I want to say again, we don't just get built, baptized Holy Spirit and filled one time and a little dab will do us the rest of our lives. The Bible says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing verb, ongoing tense. You're being filled with the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis when you ask God for that. Matthew 15 in closing, Matthew 15 says this. Jesus Christ, talking to disciples, says, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his mouth. That's what defiles him. Those things that come out of the mouth, they come from the heart. God says, if your heart is made right and made whole and been baptized by the Holy Spirit, you're going to find your mouth will follow suit. And there'll be things of life and things of wholeness and things of comfort, things of edification things of counsel, things of mysteries being solved, coming out of our mouths when the Holy Spirit's in charge of our mouth and our hearts, if our heart's controlled by Him. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will immerse our hearts in God's nature, God's power, and God's abilities that only God can bring. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet again this morning, please. Let's all stand up. I want to have our prayer part.